And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, people choose to believe a lie about God in order to escape from his accountability. They prefer to worship the creation rather than the Creator. This is the main theme of chapter 1 in the book of Romans. God, who is the source of all life, deserves eternal praise. But these people who owe their existence to him have decided to rob him of the glory and the service he deserves. They live by their feelings, not by his will. People who live by their feelings are not connected to God, because your feelings can be wrong, and God is not wrong. We're commanded to live by love, and it's biblical love, and that love is a choice. Next, in verse 26, we find some of the most severe words for those who hate God and reject his commands. God gives them up to dishonorable passions. He specifically mentions women who exchange natural relationships for unnatural ones, and men who abandon the natural use of women and burn with lust for other men. They mock God with their sin. And finally, it does not matter what the false prophets from academia, the media, the entertainment industry, or politics say about this, even if it includes a severely old and not altogether president, their opinions are irrelevant. They do not speak for God. Only God's children speak for God. And the truth is that people who engage in homosexual relations will face the penalty they deserve. Can these same people be saved? Absolutely. God can redeem anyone who softens their heart and turns to him in full surrender.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, remember this. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. Let me just ask Jacob this real quickly. Hey, Jacob, is it professional radio?
No, it is not.
Thank you.
It's just radio.
It's just radio. That's exactly right. We're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. That was impromptu, by the way. That's fun. You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show. Doesn't matter whether you're in San Diego, doesn't matter whether you're in Denver or in Dallas or in Detroit or on the moon, except I don't think the reception's very good. You can text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But when you make that call, 977-445-0 or 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to your friend and mine, Jammin' Jacob! Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Aww.
Aww. So nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy
and
Tuesday.
And do not type in 977. Make sure you type in 972.
Yeah, that was a good one, huh? See? We tell people all the
time. It's not professional radio.
You know,
it's radio.
I've done that. Like, how many? So 5 years, almost 5 years, or like 6 weeks away from 5 years, about 12 times a show, 13 times a show. So, you know, 1,000 times. So 12,000 times. Okay.
And you're still like, wait, what was the number?
This is why I need paper in front of me. This is it right here. What are you going to do? Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can, in fact, call us 972-445-0770. You can also text us 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemusincrease.org. It can be for a prayer request. We're going to be praying in just a few minutes after we do our DNA. We're going to do our prayer request. We're going to be lifting up James, going through it like many people are financially. We're going to also give you an opportunity for a praise report. Eric called up and shared a phenomenal praise report. You think, well, is that a praise report? Absolutely. And that's the great thing about praise report. You don't even worry about it. If it's something the Lord has done and blessed you in, if you share it, it will give glory to God. It will bless other people. It will reinforce it in your own life. That's how what happens. It's awesome. We're also going to do some trivia. We'll do some history and a joke or two, I can promise you that. In regards to Bible trivia, not everyone is easy, not everyone is hard. There's somewhere in between that. Here's your trivia question. Who wanted to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the apostles in the book of Acts? Somebody wanted to buy the gifts. Was it Simon, Nicodemus, or Bartimaeus that was trying to buy gifts that the Holy Spirit pours out? Your answer is in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. Acts chapter 8, verse 18, if you think you know, by the way. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So who wanted to buy the gifts that the apostles were demonstrating, trying to buy it for personal purposes? Was that Simon, Nicodemus, or Bartimaeus? Your reference point is going to be Acts 8, verse 18. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA. DNA, superbly important because it's how we function as believers. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
So I will give you a perfect example of something that happened today. So I had gotten up. I had actually the night before, not last night, but the night before, I didn't get a lot of sleep. So, you know, it's just one of those more tough nights. So last night I had the exact opposite. I had the deep sleep, you know, where you get the deep sleep and it's like, so when Noah was saying goodbye, she had to, like, you know, shake me a bunch of times. I was just like, So it took me a while to get rolling because when you're in a deep sleep, as most of you know, it takes a little while to get rolling. But then by the time I was up and everything was going the right way, I was behind in some of the things that I wanted to get done. And then I got frustrated at something that had nothing to do with anything in the world. And then I thought, you know what? I got to stop this. I'm not kidding you. Got to just stop. Stop right now. Stopped everything. Just stopped it. Cracked open the Word of God, just said, Lord, I need you to clear my mind. I need you to stop thinking about what I need to do. Stop thinking about what has to be taken care of. Stop thinking about this, that, whatever. Just help me to hear your voice. Just let me just tune out the universe for just a little bit, and let me just hear what you have to say. And then I went in and I was reading Luke chapter 23, verses 6 through 25. And it just changes everything about you because it's the Word of God. And that's what happens when you pray. That's what happens when you have genuine fellowship. When two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Your life changes. And so what you want is just a lot more of him every day. That's what you want. That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, how often? Never, how often? Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in glory with the Father. It's like, nope, don't want to do that. And then A for DNA, always be ready.
To serve.
So serving is a manifestation of your connection to Jesus. Now, it's not the only manifestation, and people that don't know Jesus still serve, so don't get weird on me and get all those like legalistic things going on. But the closer you get to the Lord, the more you realize you and Him doing good, and then you want to be used as a vessel of His to bless other people in whatever capacity. And that is a manifestation of you drawing in, a natural one, because Jesus commanded us to serve one another. It's by this love for one another that all men know we are His disciples, John 13, 34, 35. And that reflection of Jesus Christ, it's a great place to show that reflection. The big issue is for us to get our minds off of just our issues, struggles, things, and be aware there are other people. And they need to be loved and want to be loved and cared for. And when we give that out, the Lord makes sure it comes back. It's like, that's just the way to do it. Draw closer to the Lord daily, D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. And then A, always be ready to serve. Again, on the trivia question, and then we're going to go into prayer. Which person in the book of Acts, this is Acts chapter 8, verse 18, which person wanted to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit for himself? Was that Simon, Nicodemus, or Bartimaeus? Which of those three were trying to buy the gifts? Acts 8:18, like I said, is your reference point. You can call in 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to go to prayer. I want to pray for James, and I know that there's other people in our audience, and you don't have to call and identify yourself. God knows each and every one of you, and the prayer in faith is still offered in faith. And so what we need to recognize is there's people that are really going through a tough, tough struggle financially. There's just a lot of difficult trying to pull things together. For some people, it feels like it's all falling apart. So we're going to lift up James and everybody else who's going through that process and ask for the floodgates of heaven to be wide open and for everybody's heart to be blessed and to be at peace. Let's do it before the Lord by combining our faith. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We acknowledge you. You are awesome. Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thanks and praise unto you 10,000 times over. Now, Lord, there's nobody that knows the things that we have need of better than you. There is nobody that understands the truthfulness of that like you do. You know every possible nuance. We don't even get it. And there are times, Lord, that you encourage us not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust you, to have full confidence in you and in your faithfulness. So for James and for everybody else, Lord, who's just going through it and it feels like one thing after another being pulled apart, that first and foremost, the understanding of peace would keep his and everyone's heart and mind in you. That peace would be prevailing, that fear would be diminished and faith would be risen. And we also ask you just to pour out your blessings. We don't know how it can come about, where it can come about, but that's the great thing about you, Lord. You bring about answers to prayers in ways we don't even understand because you love us, you'll protect us, you care for us. And we ask you to supply our needs according to the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not because we're good, not because we're better than everybody else, because we believe and we trust in your faithfulness. Help each person, Lord, with their need. Instead of fear, let there be the power of faith for provisions and multiplications. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, people, now that we have lifted that up before the Lord in prayer, if you tagged on towards the end, that is just fine. That's not a big deal, by the way. So let's understand. I'll just briefly enter into our text, then I'll give the trivia answer, and then we'll exit and get it set up because some of this text is less than cheery, might be a nice way to put it. Here we are in Romans chapter 1. We are basically picking it up from, verse 25-ish or so, I guess is the kind of the way we want to say that. In verse 25, instead of believing what they knew as the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they worshiped the things God made, not the Creator himself, who is to be praised forever. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even women turned against their natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, turned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men and as a result suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserve. You should already know right now, there's not a lot of fun in this. I don't think that's accurate. I think there's a lot of challenge in this. Paul does not mince words. He condemns those who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature more than the creation, or worship the creation more than the creator. This passage is one that the woke and the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ plus community, they can't tolerate this. Instead of being it was just the word of God, they just think, Paul, it was just Paul. That's cute. Then they try and quote Paul somewhere else, which is hilarious. But we don't compromise the word of God to please people. We serve the living God, and if people oppose us for it, we are ready to suffer. We're not going to apologize for standing in the truth, by the truth, and for the truth, because we live in his truth. And the answer is, if you don't like it, too bad. There it is. All right, the answer to the trivia question. Oh, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? The answer to the trivia question, who wanted to buy gifts from the apostles in the book of Acts, Simon, Nicodemus, or Barnabas? It was Simon the sorcerer, Acts chapter 8, verse 18. That is your answer. Now we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow... fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. Which brother did Joseph give silver coins to? He gave silver coins. In fact, he gave 300 silver coins to one of his brothers. Which one was it? Genesis 45, 22. I believe that will give you the correct reference point. Which brother was the recipient of the multiple coins? If you think you know, you're welcome to reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Those are your three opportunities to do. We do have somebody. Are they doing trivia? Question? Yep, they are doing trivia. Wow, that was fast. All right, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the
Tradition.
Tradition. That was the first video I ever bought anybody. I bought it for my mom. Of course, I had to get her a VCR machine. But this is way back. And she loved it. It's just such a great movie, right? Zero Mostel.
Oh, yes.
It's just phenomenal. Anyway, how are you, bro?
Good.
Good? 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 Come on. Yeah, wait. Hold on. It's our little brother. Yeah. I want to make sure you felt good about it.
All right. You really now make me happy.
Oh, that's too good. Yeah. All right, you going to do the trivia first, and then you want to talk, or what do you want to do? Let's do trivia.
No. Earlier, I guess you were mentioning about the giving, and then you read the scripture. So they gave their accord?
No.
Something like that?
Yeah, that's...
So just it hit me.
They gave their Honda Accord. Yes, that's
for the work of the Lord.
That's right. I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave their own Honda Accord.
Yes.
That's a new traditional version. Okay.
Yeah. They could have given Tesla.
No, I don't think back then it would have been a Tesla, but that's good. Okay. you got to do the trivia now because people are just hanging. So now you got to help.
Yes,
them.
I can give you the answer. Is it Benjamin Netanyahu?
That is Benjamin. That is the correct
yes.
answer. It's Benjamin.
It is Benjamin.
Gave him 300 pieces of silver, and all the other brothers were like going, "Hey, hey, hey." And it's like, "You're lucky he let you guys live. Let's leave that there." I would think that would be the way to do that. So how are things in life? You doing all right? How's the family doing? How's your wife doing? How's your daughter doing? How's everybody doing?
They're recovered, yes. Okay. And my daughter is feeling much, much better.
Ah, that's great news.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm very, very glad to hear that. Very
good. Earlier that one of our brother was giving their testimony, like when they were coming back from the heathen land, California, like how Lord protected him. That was a beautiful testimony.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was really nice. That was Eric sharing that. Just wonderful how the Lord just covered him. And so we don't think that God, because when you're going through it, you maybe don't see it, but then the Lord's going, "I know what's coming. Let me handle this. And that's the key.
No, that was a beautiful testimony.
Yes, it was indeed. It was. Thank you for saying that.
And what's the update for your grandson?
All right, latest update, he's doing decent. They think they have a stay angel, but how that works is a stay angel, what we say is a stay angel is a person who is able to stay with them for longer than like 2 or 3 weeks and help them in the family, you know, process. Because Easton still cannot be left. He has to be attended 24/7. So okay. That's not going to change for the foreseeable future. But they have adapted their lives in such a way that they know the best ways to go about it, to still have date nights, still take time with the kids, still do things as a family. So they really are exceptional at that. They just really are. But in regards to what they need prayer for more than anything is that this person who's working with them turns out to be a person who can stay long term. Because the hardest part is to redo the training for each new person. That's the hardest thing. So that's.
Shall I say a prayer?
Yes, please, by all means.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, that you're amazing, awesome Heavenly Father. So, Heavenly Father, we bring this whole case scenario and this very situation before your throne of grace, and we ask your favor. Lord, bless that person and bless David's daughter and son-in-law and his grandson. And we speak life, Lord. Lord, you are the creator of life. So, Lord, we pray that you breathe life in this whole situation. And, Lord, we praise you. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength and our strength. And we give you all the praise and glory, and we look forward to hear the testimony. In Christ's name, I say this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that deeply. You know, that's really
thank
that's
you.
Important.
Love you, brother.
All right. Love you too, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent phone call. This is one of the excellent shows. I just love these excellent show things. Okay. I do want to point out that Al, in his answer to the trivia, said, you know, I said, which brother? And Al wrote, the favorite. Yes. the favorite brother. Thank you. Thank you for that. We probably didn't. Okay. All right, let me go back to this. We'll do it for about 2-3 minutes, then we'll exit out, and we'll see where the history and the jokes come in later on. But here's what it says. So going back to the Romans chapter 1 portion, God let them go and do whatever their shameful things that their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they worshiped the things God made, but not the Creator himself, who is to be praised forever. So when it says God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their hearts desires, that's the feelings. So I want to make sure that Christians don't miss this, because they do. And there's kind of like too many, like, what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit of yo-yo, a little bit of Duncan yo-yo stuff going on. First of all, your feelings are not to be ignored or denied, because you are born with this element that your insides and your brain and your heart and your body connect to the feelings. There's nothing wrong with that. However, when your feelings lead, when your feelings are in charge, because your feelings are subject to not just perversion and sin and pollution, but misinterpretation on your intellectual side, you can't have your feelings in charge of things. In other words, if you think of your life as a train, the first car in the train is the truth. And you think, well, it should be love. Well, that's wrong, because biblical love is not worldly love, and you have to distinguish that. And the only way to do that is to know the truth. So then you would say biblical truth, then love. I mean, that's how you would kind of go about that. But feelings isn't even in the first 3, 4, or 5. And part of that problem is too many Christians live by their feelings. This is an example of why that's so dangerous. People who live by their feelings, and I've used this example multiple times, but it's a fair example. I mean, it's a right example. I'm that person that has done this in my lifetime. I know nobody else has ever done this. But I've done this, and that is gone to Taco Bell before Taco Bell became much more expensive in the last 3-4 years, and ordered multiple tacos and multiple burritos and multiple cinnamon thingies. And ate them all with a Mountain Dew. And I want you to know that after eating for 45 minutes, the chalupas and everything else, I do not feel the love of God. I feel something altogether different. But that does not negate the love of God, because the truth is the love of God is steadfast, but that's not how I feel. And when you use your feelings as your guidance counselor, you're setting yourself up for failure. Not that you don't have feelings, it just can't be the first train. It can't be the first car on your track of trains. People who live by their feelings are not living by the will of God, period. If they're living by their feelings as their authority, they're not connected to God. And in essence, you can say we're supposed to live by love, but that love is not a feeling, it's a decision. Just look at that. For God so loved that he did. So it's important to understand where these things come together, and this is the argument Paul is making, that it can't be based on the flesh part of you. That's the wrong direction to go. All right, we will take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, "How can I be sure of this?" to Gabriel. "I am Gabriel," the angel answered. "I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, "How are you going to do this?" when Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear. The angel assured her, "Nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible." Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits that you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here is your next trivia question. How many chapters are in the book of Zechariah? How many chapters are in the book of Zechariah? Okay, now, I'm not going to tell you, but I will tell you the reference point is, wait, Zechariah. See, that's one thing you have to figure out. How many? See, I can't tell you. If I give you anything else, it's really not, you know, doesn't seem like it's fair. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So how many chapters are in the book of Zechariah? it's okay to look as long as you remember and you like have, you know, that's the whole point. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, as we often do, not really telling you that you should be giving a Honda Accord, but do telling you that there is an opportunity to donate if you are so inclined. Should be a pretty easy process. If you have a problem, please let me know. Also on the website, if you want a bumper sticker or if you want brochures or business cards, they're free. There's no cost. There's no follow-up. We don't go, how many business cards did you give away? How many bumper stickers did you put on cars? How many, which you should never do unless it's your own. How many different brochures have you given out to all the people you've come across? That's not what's happening. What's happening is we're asking you to have them with you. And if the Lord opens that opportunity, you're ready and you just present it. And the reason we do that is we have a lot more people listening through that program to this show right now than you would imagine, which is like the weird stuff, right? But just to have it available, you can get that stuff free off the site. Plus, on the site is a place to do praise reports and prayer requests, whether you want them public or private. Additionally, like we said, it's a place to give. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right, we're not in Kansas anymore. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gary. I'm feeling good.
Good.
Yesterday, like I said, had a little tummy problem going on there, and I had to be aware of that. But today, no problems. So it's like, oh, praise the Lord.
That's good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Keep praying for you.
I take every victory, and I acknowledge it unto God. No matter how big or small, I don't think that matters at all. I think it just matters if you acknowledge where it all comes from. That's my feeling on that. All right, here we go. Let me set you up. How many chapters are in the book of Zechariah?
There's 14.
That is correct, Amundo, sir! There is 14! That is right! And I'd like to just give Eric's answer. His first answer was more than are in the book of Hezekiah, which is like, okay, that's cute, because there are no books. There's no book Hezekiah. I thought that was funny. All right, I'm going to pray for you. Anything else we can pray for you on as well? I mean, you got some things going okay otherwise. You got things you need solved or resolved?
Well, just pray about, things in general.
Okay, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We love our brother Gary. We just want him to know how much we appreciate him. And, Lord, you can communicate that to him better than even we can with our words. You know our hearts, Lord. We just want you to heal them. We'll ask you until there's nothing left in us to ask. We ask you to heal Gary in his body in the name of Jesus by the authority and the power that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. He needs to be healed. He needs to be touched. He doesn't need just a up and encourager. He needs to be healed. We need your healing power active. We all want to see it. We all want to rejoice with him. Father, please, it's our petition to bring this before you and touch and heal his body. Cover him on everything else. Let him have great favor in the things that he's dealing with and taking care of. And let him know within his heart, within his spirit, this is the favor of God. Let that be a blessing for him. But again, bring your healing power into his life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Take care. Excellent call by our brother Gary. Love brother Gary. All right, so this is going to be really kind of a toughy transition-y thing here. I am going to do history because in history there's something important, so let's do history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, a couple things to let you know. 1964 on this day, first U.S. spacecraft to strike the moon. Ranger 6 is launched from Cape Canaveral, striking the moon on this day in 64. Okay, cool. It is National Croissant Day. Okay. Now, I like croissants. Do you like croissants?
Yes, I do.
Okay, see?
That's a great day.
That's a great day. Now, watch these last two are just classic. It is National Yodel for Your Neighbors Day. So I came up with this. Hey, I'm your neighbor, taking your trash cans. That's your yodeling for, you know, yodel. Yodel, that kind of thing.
Thank you. My day is now better.
Complete, right? Yeah. Taking your trash cans, you know, kind of thing. But for my favorite, and yes, I'm going to say it, it's National Idiotic Answering Message Machine Day. And so let me explain to you. I have two that I have used in my lifetime that I always bring up. I bring it up every year. They are two brilliant ones. No, they are not spiritual. Yes, they are absolutely ridiculous, but funny. The first one is this. And it's this. Hey, thanks for calling. I'm really glad you called. Do me a favor. Hang on a second. Somebody left an atom bomb in my living room, and I'm just clipping the wires to make sure it goes good. Okay, it's clip the red and leave the blue. Then you hear clip. And they go, or is it clip the blue and leave the red? Then you hear. Okay, that's one.
I remember years ago, I had friends, and I've heard other people do it where they'll have like a fake voicemail thing where they'll act like they answered.
Oh yeah,
like hello.
Like, hey,
like,
how
oh
you
wait,
doing?
Let me step outside real quick so I can hear you better. So you think they're on the phone, and so you're sitting there waiting, and they say, "I'm actually not here." Right
that's
now.
So good.
You're like, I waited here for nothing.
That's funny. That's a brilliant one. See, that's a great one. The other one we did was I got in trouble for this, but that's right. So the other one was, "Hey, hi there. Hold on a second. Somebody's at the door. Knock, knock." You know, because you hear a knock, knock, and then you go, "What is that? A gun?" And you hear, and then you hear, "I'll have to call you back."
That's a great one too.
That's right, people. This is the life. All right, back to Romans. People are like going, "What is wrong with you guys?" Everything. And I told you before, I fell. I wasn't dropped on my head. I fell on my head. I told you that. All right. Back to the text. Oh, laugh. Sometimes you can laugh. Verse 26, this is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged with sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. I'm just going to say this because I'm so tired of this. We find the most severe possible words for those who hate God. It's so funny because we're always called the haters because we stand in the truth. But these are people that hate God and reject his commandments. They give themselves up to dishonorable passions. It's what they're doing. This specifically mentions women who exchange natural relationships with men for other women, and then men who abandon their natural connection and relationship with women for other men. And it doesn't matter, and I can't say this any more clearly, it does not matter if these people from academia say, "Well, that's not what the Bible says." Those are the same idiotic, unstable, unlearned people who say Jesus never said he was the Messiah. Try about six times in the scripture. You might find out that they were wrong. Additionally, it doesn't matter what the media says. The media is not governed by spiritual principles. They're not governed by truth. You should know that. The entertainment industry, what are they? Oh, yeah, that's the high point of morality, the entertainment industry. Right. And politicians, as though they speak righteousness. It's so hilarious. They don't speak righteousness. It doesn't even matter if it's a president or anybody else in any other position. "Well, I'm a doctor of this," or "I'm a this," or "I'm a big deal." God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Read Romans 1, sit down, and be quiet. You don't want to follow it? Don't. Rebel. That's your privilege and right. You have free will. Now, God knows what you're going to do, so that's where the more of the predestination element comes in place. But look, here, make your choice. Do what you want to do. Because these people in the media, in academia, in entertainment industry, and politics, they don't speak for God. They don't even know God. They wouldn't know God from a brown paper bag. The children of God speak for God. And the people that are engaging in homosexual relationships, they're going to face the penalty, whether they like it or not. Now, does that mean that we should despise them more than everybody else? That I find bizarre, because it's only liars that are mentioned that God hates twice in the Old Testament and twice in the New Testament in the book of Revelation. God hates liars. It's the only sin that, I mean, it's like the sin that God hates like the most, if you're going to use numbers and stats. But it's like, look, it's a sin. You don't like it? Tough. Argue with God, because you're going to face him. And for those that are like, well, can't I just be accepting of everybody? Well, then tell Jesus he did his ministry wrong, because it's not how Jesus did it. And when Jesus confronted sin, you know what he said? Go and sin no more. Yes, it's a sin. Jesus made marriage between a man and a woman absolutely clear. And it was Jesus that made a reference to Sodom and Gomorrah by saying, remember Lot's wife. That's enough. Ridiculous is ridiculous. However, there seems to be somewhat in the Christian realm this overabundant, there's no recovery from this. And for that, we're going to deal with that when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I cannot wait, though. I have to do this particular sound. We might interrupt while I'm doing the teaching, but I got to do the sound because it is time for Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out of your head, honey.
I can't believe I'm allowed to do that. I love that. Anyhow, Bible Baloney Beatdown has to do with the kingdom of God. So there are people that go, well, you know, in Scripture, there's so many contradictions. Like, what about when Jesus said, if you're for me, then you're not against me. If you're against me, you're not for me. And they kind of mix it all up and so on and so forth. Let me just help out and just kind of set the record straight, keeping it simple. There are two. Now, watch what I'm going to show you. There are two. Okay. Watch. Somewhere between one and three. There are two. Okay, here you go. One more time. There are two kingdoms. I'm gonna blow your mind when I say this. There is the kingdom of God. Right? Everybody would agree. Okay, got it. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And then there is any other attempted kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's any other attempted kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of men. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's the kingdom of God and all the other ones. Okay? And they're all just wrapped up into one thing. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdoms that are not the kingdom of God. That's all we got. That's all it is. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 through 50, John responded, Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow us. Verse 50, don't stop him, Jesus told him, because whoever is not against you is for you. Keeping this in context, the person is not opposed, this is very important, the person is not opposed, but for the kingdom of God. He's not neutral. He's a kingdom advancer. He's somebody that is advancing the kingdom, casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And John is like, well, he's not one of us. Okay, that's a whole separate sermon, a whole separate issue, which I'm sure your pastor has taught on many times, and that is the last thing that you need are a whole bunch of more people just like you or just like me. We need people to be like Jesus, and they don't need to follow us exactly. They need to follow Jesus, and I don't want to reproduce 1,000 me's. I want people reproducing being Jesus, because I'm not going to do anything, but people who are more like Jesus, they make a difference. And in context, this person was advancing the kingdom by driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. He's a kingdom advancer.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every penalty, you're sure to lose your goal.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We did this trivia question 3 weeks ago. Let's see if you can remember. What sign did Jesus say he would give to an evil and adulterous generation, because he said he would give this sign. Is it the sign of Jonah, signs in the sky, or is it fire signs? Not fire sign theater, for those who know what that joke means. What signs did Jesus say he would give to an evil and adulterous generation? According to Matthew 16:4. According to Matthew 16:4, sign of Jonah, signs in the sky, or fire signs? And again, not fire sign theater. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we are on that kind of wind down. We're not going to be able to do the jokes today, but we've already had some fun, so that's okay. Here's the bottom line, and I want to make sure we get this right, okay? And this is really important to me to make sure that we can communicate it. I'm going to read the rest of this verse and make sure that you get this one thing. Verse 27, men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with their lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and within themselves will suffer the penalty they so richly deserve. Let's just stop and say this. The big issue, the politics of the day, the transgender, the bathroom scenario, it's all rubbish. It's all sin. But it's not a bigger sin than lying. People are like, well, no, Dave. No. You see, in Proverbs, it says six things God hates, yea, seven. Two of them are lying. A false witness and one who doesn't tell the truth. It's like, and when you get to Revelation 21:9, you find out that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So you don't hear the church going after that, which of course would be much more interesting, especially if they directed it at politicians. But here's the point I want to make. There are people that abandon the relationship with God, or they know it and they embrace it but don't fully embrace it, or they never knew it, they don't want to have accountability, whatever the case may be. And the question is simply this: can they be redeemed? When Peter was in his process, Jesus said, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. By the way, that word "you" is the plural, which meant he was going to sift all the disciples, but we'll argue about that later. The bottom line is, Jesus said, I prayed for your faith that it would not fail. But Dave, Peter denied Jesus three times. Right. But the word fail in the Greek and every other translation is cease. In other words, Peter blew it, but he didn't completely cease to have faith. He failed in his trial, right? In that human sense. But he didn't cease his faith. He just blew it. And he did it three times in a row. And what Jesus is saying is, I pray that your faith would not fail. Fail being cease, terminate, end of. It wasn't the end of his faith. He was fat. The proof that it wasn't the end of his faith was that he was sorry and he wept bitterly. You and I fail. We blow it. And if we used the same logic on one another that we tend to use with people, every one of the Christians who's ever blown it would be going to hell. That's not what's going on. And this is a problem. The problem is when you're dealing with people who are in the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community or transgender, or whatever, I can't follow it. The question is, can they be saved? Of course. God redeemed Saul before he became Paul, and Saul was a murderer. And you think, well, that's not as bad as his homosexuality. Yes, it is. Because once the murder takes place, the person who's murdered can never be any interchange. It's over. But the question is, any of those sins can send you to hell. That's not the issue. Of course, redeemed through Christ makes it different. Here's the bottom line, though. Any person that turns their heart to Jesus and surrenders can be saved. Now, we're not dealing with blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, if they continue to be defiant, they will receive God's judgment. If they yield and repent, which thousands and thousands of people have, not just in the homosexual community, people who have committed adultery, same thing. People who are habitual liars, same thing. There's no different. But if they yield, if they surrender, if they submit, if they repent, can they be redeemed? Of course. God can take dry bones and breathe life into them. So instead of thinking, oh, well, we've just got to make a bigger effort to be more obnoxious, I think the church is plenty obnoxious in how it does it. The problem is they're plenty obnoxious about homosexuality, not a whole bunch about adultery, which I find weird. Right? Because adultery it messes up kids. It's like, what? How is that not a problem? Lying is what Satan did in the garden in the very beginning. It's like, how is that not a problem? You're connecting to Satan. He's the father of lies. They're all sins. And we're just like, yeah, gotta be washed away from that. And so my message is actually a message of hope. There is redemption for anybody who will turn their face to Jesus. Never stop believing. Family members or otherwise. Don't stop believing. You got to keep that faith going. Keep that believing. Does that excuse the relationships that these people have? No. Does it excuse their behavior? No. It doesn't excuse the behavior of homosexuality, adultery, anything else that's along that lines. Anger against your brother, murder in the heart. It doesn't. Covetousness. None of that. There's no excuses for that. There's either redemption or a day of reckoning. There's only those two things that will happen. They will either find reconciliation or they will be reckoned for their sin. One of the two. So you don't stop believing until there's no time left. Then that would change everything because then there'd be no time left, okay? All right, trivia question. What sign did Jesus say he would give an evil and adulterous generation? Was it the sign of Jonah? Was it signs in the sky? Or was it fire signs? Your answer was in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. And the answer is the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in for 3 days in the Wata. And on the third day, he prayed, which always begs the question, why didn't he pray when the fish was swallowing his leg? Just a thought in my own brain. I will ask him when I get up there. Okay? All right. Awesome. All right. So I hope you get something out of today's show, and it's blessed you. Phenomenal calls. We appreciate you all. Thank you for joining us. We will depart here. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.